everybody. Welcome inside the cave. Here we are at Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. And with me, Fred Smith. Hey, Fred. Yeah, you do. Oh, yeah. Well, either that, try that one, Fred.
I got the right mic here.
Yeah, that
one
will work a little better for you.
You tell I'm a radio aficionado.
You can scoot that one over there and scoot that one over there closer to you.
Okay, thanks.
There you go. All right, we got a great show on tap for you this evening here on Saints Sports Weekly. Hey, we're going to talk. Do you know who this guy is we're talking to tonight?
Yeah, I just.
I mean, do you have any idea what he's about at all?
Yeah, in fact.
Any clues?
We just were visiting a little while ago about Big Ten basketball. So now we can switch to the sport that we can do our best now at is golf. You know, I can't wait.
Oh, yeah, we're welcoming in Al Sandifer. He is the men's and ladies golf coach at CN. Is that right? That's right, isn't it, Al?
Yeah, he does everything.
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
well,
that's
cool.
Correct.
Yeah, and we can talk, you know, because a little disappointing that the Big Ten didn't get somebody in the Final Four. Thought that might happen somewhere. Holy smoke.
Terrible.
It was terrible. Yeah. We got two from the ACC and a couple of other ones. I mean, at that rate, if a Big Ten team wasn't going to get in, St. Peter's, you got to hope that they would have made it. But whatever, whatever. Okay, so we're going to talk golf, right, Fred?
You bet. This is hopefully the sun's out, but the temperature better warm up.
Yeah.
I know Coach is having a heck of a time practicing anything at a golf course in the last few days, but we're anxious. Coach, if you don't mind, let me ask you, what are you doing with your guys and girls the last month or so?
Well, you know, it's been all indoors, obviously. We did get a chance to get outside and play a few holes. I don't think we played a full, even nine holes before we had our tournament this weekend.
Oh.
So, you know, we've been at the simulator. We go to the simulator at Midway Market. Alex Wilnow, one of our former players, has a couple of units there, and he runs a little, you know, golf simulator, golf leagues, and things like that. So we've been going there, and then we've also been doing our golf workouts. We've got, Jim Olson is our strength and conditioning coach, and he's part of the, you know, Gary Gray Gift program and the whole golf movement and golf specialty movement thing. So we did a lot of weight training and exercising and been hitting indoors and played a couple of holes before we headed down to Kentucky. So got a little bit of work in before we played.
So where did you guys exactly go in Kentucky, Coach?
We went to Shepherdsville, and we played at, Heritage Hills Golf Course. Nice track, really a challenge for the kids. I think the guys played it. The course played up to, like, 7,200 yards.
Wow.
I think the guys played, like, 67, and the girls played, I think, 58, 59. Some tough holes. But again, a good start for us. We were able to get down there Friday. We played a practice round on Friday, and then we played the tournament Saturday and Sunday. So, you know, it was nice, 54 holes in 3 days. So the kids got a lot of golf in, but the weather was okay. It wasn't great, but it was okay. It was a little bit on the cold side, and with the wind, it was like the actual temperature of somewhere around 30. So
no kidding. So did it get to and it was in the 40s at all, or 50s, or what? And then with the wind,
the temperature itself got as high as 45, I think, maybe 48. But with the wind, and the wind blowing, and not only it was cold, but it affected the golf ball and the flight of the golf ball. So the kids really had to battle through some adversity. But overall, we played okay. The guys were, I think, 7th out of 13th, and then I had a girl make the all-tournament team. She shot 80 both days.
Wow.
Had a four-putt on her 35th hole, or else she could have been in the 70s the second day. So she played really well, but you could tell that, the girls were rusty, and the scores reflected that. So just, again, glad to get some holes in and actually get out and play. So looking forward to getting the rest of the spring season in, heading into the conference tournament.
Hey, Coach, which school in Kentucky hosted this? How'd this tournament get together?
Well, actually, the school that hosted it was Lawrence Tech.
No kidding.
Was school in our conference. Yeah. Yeah, he hosts a lot of tournaments. He hosts one, the John Deere. He hosts one in Alabama.
Wow.
Just a guy that's real connected in the golf and the golf community and knows a lot of pros. And, so he hosted it. Last year we went down and we played – in a tournament that was hosted by Alice Lloyd that was in Richmond, Kentucky, you know, in the NAI school. And we, you know, I wanted to bring all of my guys. And the tournament in Richmond, we just weren't able to get all 10 guys in. And the tournament in at Heritage Hills, we were able to get more kids to play. And I wanted to take everybody, which for us is 16 players. So worked out better for me to be able to get everyone in and play at Heritage Hills. And it was nice. No complaints. I wasn't able to go with the team last year, so I can't compare the golf courses. But the kids will all said that the Heritage Hills was a lot tougher and just a little bit nicer course. Not that, you know, if the Battlefield wasn't, it's just this was a little bit nicer.
You know, Al, I just want to hop in here real quick with one question. You already talked about it a little bit, but temperatures, yeah, but this is like the windiest winter that I can recall in a long time. And it doesn't show any signs of abating. It could be a real challenge for the sport this spring.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't remember it ever being this windy. You know, the temperatures, you know, hit or miss. We got snowed out of a tournament last year on April 18th, so you never know what's going to happen with that. You know, so the weather, you just, you know, do the best you can to try to get in tournaments. We're scheduled to play at Shrine in Gola, Indiana on Saturday, and, you know, they're predicting a high of 40. Whoa. So, you know, who knows? If it doesn't get much higher than that, you know, I don't know if they'll have the tournament. There is a National Association rule on what the temperature has to be to play. I'm not 100% sure what that is, but if it gets around 40 or below, it's awfully tough to get out there and play golf. You know, with your hands are cold and, you know, the sting of the clubs and, you know, anything under 40 is really a challenge. So we'll see what happens Saturday. But again, we're just hoping to get out and play. Our season is so short that, you know, if you miss any tournaments, you can't make them up. And, you know, everything's geared towards, you know, that last tournament, which is the conference tournament, and trying to win that and get the nationals. So that's what we're geared for, and we're hoping to get at least two, maybe three, four tournaments in before that event. So we'll see what happens, and hopefully the weather will cooperate.
Just a couple questions, Coach. Our conference used to have wasn't it a 35 degree real temperature for baseball and softball. Do they have that for golf too? And that real temperature is wind chill, you know? And it used to be our trainers were adamant about it, and I remember teams sitting on the bus until the sun would come out and it'd get above, and then they'd run on the field. Has that ever come into effect for you guys, or does the league not even worry about it?
Well, I don't know if the individual tournaments, if they even go by that. Yeah. I know the conference will, but, you know, I voted for 75, Fred. I mean, what the heck? I mean, I voted for 75 and sunny. I mean, it's long. You know, when you take 16 kids out there, and, you know, we had an hour and a half frost delay yesterday.
Wow.
So, you know, we didn't get back into Adrian until, you know, I think it was 12:35 or 12:40 before we even pulled into town last night. So, you know, you always have that, too. You schedule these tournaments and, you know, the conference tournaments, you know, it's 36 holes the first day and you want to plan on teeing off at 9 o'clock and all of a sudden you get a frost delay and now it's an hour and a half and, you're out on that course for a long time. And when you're trying to get 16 kids around, you know, it was almost a six-hour round. And you're out there, you know, trying to battle the elements. And it's tough on the kids, but at the same time, you know, we got out there and we got to play, so we were happy about that. It just makes for a long, cold day, you know. And so, anyway, we got to play, and that was good, and we got the season off and going, so we were happy about that.
You know, just a review for you know, our listeners, as we've had you on a few times, to just talk a little bit about how our conference now, I don't know if we do even, we don't even have a conference championship in the fall anymore, do we?
No, we don't. Right. We play and it's something that I personally, I don't like. It's something that I think that we need to reevaluate and talk about, but we do play what they call a conference preview.
Right.
So what we do with the conference preview, it's a 54-hole event. The first 18 holes is stroke play, and then you are seeded after the stroke play. So with the 12 schools in our conference, they divide you into three flights, you know, 1 through 4, 5 through 8, 9 through 12. And then the second round and the third round are match play. So if you're seeded in that first bracket, let's say, one would play four, two would play three, and then when the winners would play. So you have individual winners in the brackets that are seeded from the first day. And I really don't understand why we do it, and I really don't understand why we just don't make it a 54-hole stroke play event. But it's something that the coaches have played in other events and really like the match play. And I'm not saying that it wasn't fun. Some of our kids, they really got put into some pressure situations. You know, I think of Bethany Nowak right away. She had just a great match with a girl from U of M Dearborn and went down to the last hole. And she's two down with, you know, she's one down with two to go, and she wins 17 and 18 to win the match. And, in our own little world, it was very dramatic and a lot of fun and a great challenge for them. But what does it prove? It doesn't prove anything, because we play our national tournament as stroke play. Everything else we do is stroke play. You know, I would either like to go back to stroke play or just eliminate the fall preview altogether. It just doesn't seem to me like it's something that we benefit from. Because, like I said, I've said this before, you know, we talked about basketball earlier, you know, today. It's like playing all year with a three-point line and going to the national tournament and playing without one. We don't play stroke play other than this event, so I'd like to see that changed.
Yeah, it'd be more like, how about this comparison? As you know, in most of our sports, we have regular season champions and tournament champions. It'd be like our basketball teams just going and playing for 3 months, and then we come to a tournament. And how do you qualify? And I guess what's disappointing is we've seen our conference schedule become extinct, and everything
right.
that really counts. I mean, you can play the whole year, and you guys play a ton of events. If you go online, you guys play all over. Is those 36-18 on April, is it 25th, 26th for the women, or 22nd, 23rd for the men? I can't remember which. But
right, right.
And it's all or nothing then, you know. And in some ways, it's nice to at least have a – in the old days, didn't the conference winner used to be able to determine the golf course? Now I think
right.
you guys play up in Battle Creek or somewhere, right?
Right. Yeah, we play at a neutral site.
Which
the
is
men
good.
Play at Bedford Valley and the women play at Stonehenge, which is all part of that Gull Lake
right.
Golf Resort. But there again, we're the only sport where, unless I host an individual tournament, you can go the full 4 years of your career and never play at home.
Right.
You can never play at Lanaway. And to me, we've got 12 schools. Why not, you know, 1 year you host the men, and the next year you host the women, and have it be six jamborees and have a conference champion. Or at worst, let's just say you have it, you know, four events. So
right.
you host every third year.
Yeah, right.
You know, at least that way you're going to get a home event. You're going to get a home conference event. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. And cost-wise, it makes perfect sense because, you know, we're all the schools, I think Grand Rapids maybe is the furthest away at, you know, 215, 2.5 hours. So, you know, Indiana Tech a couple hours away, and the rest of the schools are all close. You could drive up and play and, you know, play a one-day jamboree, you know, determine a conference regular season champion from that. But, you know, you get into budgets, and then you get into some schools that have bigger budgets than other schools, and they want to go all over. They want to go and play in Alabama, and they want to go play in, you know, Kentucky and Tennessee in the fall, and they want to travel around the Midwest. And then you've got other schools that just can't afford to kind of do those kinds of things unless you're doing crazy fundraising. And so you get that and you get the votes. And like anything, you have a lot of different opinions. And you have the lower budget schools that are saying, hey, let's, you know, go back to the old days and have the jamborees. And then you get the, you know, the schools with the big budgets that want to travel and go play different courses and they want to compete nationally. So you have a lot of different opinions on it. I long for the old days. I just think it's really cool when Saturday afternoon at Lanaway and we're playing a conference event. You got the 12 schools there, and all the parents are out there, and you get these nice, beautiful Saturday afternoons, and you know, you're not missing school. And I just really think that's the way to go. But it was voted, and I lost. So I've got to get over it and move on. So,
well, you know, Coach, one of the things is that you do both teams, right? So this one was you were fortunate enough to be at the same place. But you got to be hopping around a lot with the men and women playing different events. Talk about how you do that, and I know you've had some great staff members. Who do you got helping you right now? You mentioned, Olson, you know, what he does, but, you know, just who's helping you be in two places at once?
Right. Well, Jim Olson is our strength and conditioning coach, and it does an unbelievable job. I mean, he is cutting edge with the things that are going on with the Gray Institute, and he works closely with Jonathan Moore, who is the strength and conditioning coach at Oklahoma State, and just the things that he has brought to us, and, you know, the 3D, they call it 3D maps, which is, you know, three different types of movements, and the fourth movement is golf-specific, so the kids really get into golf movement with the weight training. He's been great, and then Andrew Iuna, one of my former players, is our graduate assistant coach, and he is really the X and O, so to speak, guy. He's somebody that's been giving lessons for the last 10 years, and about the last, well, maybe 7 or 8 years, he's been at Carl's Golfland giving lessons there, and he's just really into that. And then my other assistant, my first-year guy, who I think is going to be on the show later this evening, Bob Lawrence. Bob actually was the very first golf coach in Siena Heights history back in the 70s, and you know, Fred, you'll recognize some of the names right away of some of the guys that he had playing for.
Oh, I can't wait to talk
back in the 70s. Oh, my gosh. The Wagamuth.
Yep.
And who's the guy that just moved out of town, moved to Colorado a few years ago? Great local player. Oh, my gosh. One of the best amateur players in Lenawee County for a long time. And I'm drawing a blank on his name, who played for him. And he starts mentioning some of these guys that played for us back then that were just great players. And so Bob, he's retired now and has some time to spend on the golf, and he's just a golfaholic.
Yeah, nobody loves
the game
more than him.
Wants to talk about golf. He's such a resource, Fred, as Siena Heights and the history of Siena Heights athletics, and back with the Harvey Jackson era, and he's just going to be a real pleasure for you guys to interview this evening, and I think he's just having a blast. I've got just a great, great group of kids that have just accepted Bob and really, really understand and appreciate his experience and the value he brings to the team. So I've been lucky. So when we are bouncing around, it's primarily Andrew and I, but Bob went with us to Kentucky. And so if the men and the women are both playing on the same day, Andrew usually takes the men and I take the women. But if the men are playing and the women aren't, Andrew and I will take the men to an event, and then Bob will stay back for practice with the women and vice versa. So he does a great job at practice. Like I said, just not only, with the golf, which he's extremely knowledgeable about, he just brings so much experience from his career as a probation officer and, his background at Siena Heights. And, he was a part-time professor at the college for a while, so he brings that experience to the kids, and it's just been a blessing to have him and have him be part of it. And I know he's having a great time, so I'm anxious. I can't wait. I want to listen to the interview when you have him on. And then the player, Michael Ramp, one of our current players, is he wants to get into broadcasting and wants to get into sports journalism. So he was so excited about the opportunity to be interviewed today. So that will be an interesting one too. He's a kid that he went to Lansing Catholic, and like I said, wants to be a sports writer and is a huge Michigan fan and just a walking encyclopedia of sports. So, like I said, the staff is Olson, and then of course Andrew and Bob, and it's been great, a great staff. So, very fortunate to have all of those folks on board with us.
Well, Al, thanks so much for being on the first segment of the show. We're going to get to those two people, as you mentioned here. Michael Ramp's going to be up next, followed by Bob Lawrence. And best of luck with the team this year.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thank you, and go Saints.
All righty. Talk to you soon, Coach.
All right, take care.
All right, we'll be back with more right after this. You're listening to the Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine.
If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.sienaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about.
Is space becoming a problem for you? Do you have clutter issues? Magic Fountain Mini Storage to the rescue. If you haven't rented a storage unit before, there's no need to worry. Magic Fountain makes it simple and easy. Their storage units are affordable, have 24-hour access, well-lit, safe, secure, and monitored with video surveillance 24/7. Multiple-sized storage units and now offering secured outside storage. Magic Fountain Mini Storage in Adrian. Find them at the office behind Magic Fountain Auto Wash.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
All right, welcome back into Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. Well, I screwed it up again. There's a Gomer pile for you. Surprise, surprise, surprise. I got the numbers mixed up, but that's all right because we got Bob Lawrence with us, and I know Coach – see, I just did that because I know Coach Sandifer was – he was chomping at the bit for this. Yeah, so, anyway, Michael Ramp, if you're out there listening, you're on deck, okay? And so we want to welcome in right now Bob Lawrence. How's it going, Bob?
Good, very good. Thank you.
Well, Bob, this is Fred Smith, and it's always good to visit with you, my friend. We have a long past, and I remember us staying in the dorms at Adrian College during our premarital thing back in 1975 or 6. Man, that's all
it's a long time ago.
Sure is. But I was so pleased to hear you're part of the staff, as everybody knows what a good golfer you are, how much you love it. So what's it been like for you, right? What's your first impression, and have you tell us about a little bit about what you do, and what's the best part of your new little part-time gig here?
I've had a ball, as Al said. I listened to his interview, and I've really enjoyed it. I kind of hesitated when he first asked because he had a second assistant, and she took a new job and was unable to do it. So he asked me real quick, and I kind of hesitated, and then I was talking to my son. And I told him about this opportunity, and he said, Dad, I said, I'm kind of hesitating because I didn't know how I would relate to the kids. And he said, Dad, he said, how long have you known Al Sandifer? And I said, oh, 30 years or so. He says, how long have you loved golf? And basically my life, you know. And he goes, and how much time do you have? And I am retired, so I said, you know, I've got plenty of time. He goes, then what are you even thinking about? Why don't you do it? So, and I really enjoy it. So I started really, you know, just before the season started last year. And as Al said, I kind of just basically fill in for where he needs. So if they're on the road, then I'll stay with, you know, the other team, run practices, things like that. I did some recruiting for him as far as sending letters out to high school kids, you know, juniors and seniors for potential golfers, you know, that, that have played in the state championships. And I kind of follow through, do what he needs me to do and help out as best I can. And we've got 16 great kids, and I've really, really enjoyed it.
Well, you know, Bob, as we heard, as Al kind of set the table, that years ago when Sienna just was going co-educational, that you were one of the first golf coaches on board around the early 70s. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I graduated from Adrian College, and I had a degree in education in 73, and I was had to take some summer school classes, so I was late. So I was looking for something to do, and Sienna had some graduate assistant positions opened. So I went over there, and they had just started. It was really the first year of the athletic department.
Right.
So the year before was the first year that they'd gone co-educational. So I basically went, and Harvey Jackson was the athletic director. And I was also working in the student union, so it was like whatever he needed me to do. So I'm not sure I was as much the golf coach as much as just driving the bus. But
right.
So we did wrestling, baseball, cross-country, golf, you know, pretty the very basic first sports that they had at Siena. We even had a flag football team that they used for the, you know, for the school itself. So, it was just, I did that for 2 years and then I went on from there. So
you know, when your first coach mentioned some of the players that were on that team that were pretty good, tell us about some of those guys.
Yeah, I've always kidded him about that because, and this, I went in kind of, you know, right at the start of the year, so I didn't know who was going to be there, but it was Rick Wagamuth, Bruce Sapiro.
Brucey Sapiro, that's who I thought it was.
He was the other one that he was talking about, yeah. Another guy by the name of John Evans, who went to work for the Department of Human Services, I think, for the state. His brother still plays a lot of golf around here.
I remember John well.
And then the fourth one I had is he's now, chiropractor over in Dundee by the name of Vince Goff, and that was the first golf team, and all of those guys could really play, so it was kind of funny.
Was there a CNAC or Jay CNAC or somebody that also was, that name rings a bell, I don't know, in the early days of coaching golf, because after you, it shut down there, and I was a coach that brought it back, I think, in 77, 78. And our golfers weren't anywhere as good as Bruce Sapiro or Rick Wagamuth. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they stayed a year or so. I mean, they weren't there. And like I said, I was there for just a little over 2 years. So I really, and then I kind of lost touch with it after that. So I'm not real sure, Fred.
What are the changes from then to now, would you say, in terms of the game and the team and how you, any difference in coaching or what you're doing now as opposed to then?
Oh, I think a lot. I mean, these, you know, we, you know, it's just these kids come up now, you know, they've had instructors, they've worked with simulators. The equipment has changed tremendously. You know, just for fun, last week, I have three old metal woods that are probably 30 years old. They're older than any of the kids on the golf team. I took them out and just let them hit them, and they were just laughing because the heads on them are so small and things like that. And these kids today are just, I'm in awe of their game.
They're
really
monsters, aren't they?
The way they hit the ball is just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's hard to even imagine how far they hit it, you know. And Coach always talks about it, and the level of play is so cool to have 12 teams in our league, too. It's too bad, as we were saying on the radio, we can't get them all together in some sort of conference thing other than the end of the year, but we can't do much about it. But we didn't get the chance to do this much with Coach, but can you tell us about some of the players on the team?
Oh, well, we've got, you know, some of the good guys. I mean, we've got Davis Longyear, Colin Duffy.
Yeah, I know that name.
Ben Ellis, who's a freshman. I mean, these are kids that just, Garrett Ramos. I was playing with two the other day at Wolf Creek, and we're on 18. And I'm sitting there with Jacob Gross and Garrett Ramos, and these two kids stepped up side by, you know, back to back, and hit two of the longest drives I've ever seen hit on that hole. And I've been playing out there for over 20 years.
Yeah.
Davis Longyear, his dad has been in the golf business. Is in the golf business. Manages a program over or a golf course in Indiana. I mean, he's a business major. He dabbles. His hobby is the stock market. I mean, these are the kind of kids that we're dealing with. So they're really well.
How do they take to your coaching, or what do you tell them if you're saying some of them have had the professional instruction? I mean that was always a difficulty of me. You know, my friends would laugh at me when they heard I was a golf coach. I couldn't hit it straight at all, but mostly I was just a golf advisor. You know, what do you do?
I look at me as still that way because I know the golf swing, but I'm not one that can really step up and change, make major changes or anything like that to their golf swing. That's where Andrew comes in, where he can. I mean, he knows the golf swing. He's a great player in his own right and has given instruction. I try to do a lot of mental things, little things on the golf course. We're in Kentucky. We're kind of watching him play and just kind of give him a little advice as to what I can in terms of maybe how something's going to break. Where do you want to play this shot? What you're looking for? Because a lot of these kids have never played these courses before. So we did get a practice round in, and it's just kind of reminders of what can be done and what they should do. So
that's pretty cool. That is really good. This week while you and Coach were out working like crazy, I was home watching the match play stuff on the PGA. It's such a great weekend of golf. And what you see that strategy with when a guy like Kevin Kisner can go to the finals when he is playing against guys that hit the ball 30 to 40 yards farther. And he talks so much about that strategy and of placing the ball and hitting it in the fairway and just the scoring stuff that some of the young guys that can hit it so far, you probably have to figure out when longer isn't all that much better and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, and you look at positioning with the girls. We try to work on the girls can hit the ball long. Skyler, I was talking about. We've got three or four girls that can hit the ball really well. Megan Peskis, who's a smaller, hits the ball tremendously. But then it's the short game about getting on the green, making the putts. If you're on in two, you've got to putt at a birdie rather than having to chip on and then struggle to get par. So. Just that sort of thing, because they're fun, good, really good students, good kids. I've had a great time with it.
Well, it had to be good that you could get both your teams, even though the weather sounded pretty brutal. I know it's brutal up here, and I know you're 300 miles or so south, but it had to be pretty tough this weekend. But that's a great thing about golf is trying to teach that mental toughness game. And, that's, and, never giving up and all that stuff. So, I mean, how could you coach that in practice? It really interests me. I guess I could make this a coaching program. I wish we had Coach on here too, Coach Stanford. But, how do you, when you're at practice, what type of things are, you have to qualify too. So what do you do to just keep them fresh?
And the qualification is the hard part. You try to play because these kids are all competitive too.
Right.
That's the other thing. So we don't just generally go out and play a round of golf for fun. They're playing for something. We'll play a scramble. We'll have a match play. We'll medal play. We're going to make it kind of competitive to try to get that because, as you say, their seasons are so short and we have limited qualifications. So it's like they've got to play well if they want a spot because we've got seven or eight guys that can compete for the first team. And what's nice is to take, like Coach said, to take all 16 of them to Kentucky. And he was pretty generous about the weather. My face and my lips are still chapped. I mean, that wind was hard. Friday I played nine, and I said, that was enough for me. I'm going in.
and they were playing.
It was tough, and it was a six-hour round of golf. There were a lot of, pretty long walks between holes, so we were able to shuttle some of the kids, back and forth because I was amazed at the elevation changes on it, and it was a beautiful golf course. It was just a shame that it wasn't a better weather because it would have been a ball to, play that in good warm conditions. So.
I know Coach mentioned how Coach Jimmy, does some physical stuff. What type of conditioning? How do you prepare the kids to toughen their legs? And did you do anything like that?
Not as much legs. I mean, they're all in pretty good shape. I mean, early on we were doing just preconditioning, and some of them were running on the treadmills and things like that, and they'll play other sports and stuff like that. So they and they're pretty good when it comes to walking. And a lot of the older courses, you know, the greens to tees are fairly close.
Right.
So, you know, that's not too bad. You get to some of these more resort courses,
yes,
like we were playing in Kentucky, and then there were some hikes. But and this is one of the first times. Usually we're not allowed to transport players between, you know, greens and tees and that sort of thing. But because of these, I mean, there was one who had to be a quarter mile walk or more between the green and the next tee, and it was up a hill and then back down. So, and you know, the other thing we get a lot of is we get huge parental support.
Right.
You know,
that's,
I should mention that too. We had 16 kids. I bet we had 10 sets of parents there, or at least one parent coming down to watch their kids play. They drove from Michigan, Indiana, all, you know, over by Cleveland, down to Shepherdsville, Kentucky, to watch their, you know, son or daughter play golf, and that was great. They're a huge support. They'll bring food. The one dad brought in a whole bag of hand warmers for the kids, and, you know, a great group of people.
You know, Coach, one of the, you know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, some of the rules of what you can do as a coach versus, you know, what I'm saying, let's say you know this putt breaks left, but are there designated coaches that can give advice out there?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. In fact, some of them, they limited at some point. The one, they allowed two coaches, and I had to go down, and I didn't wear a standard shirt and just, you know, rented a cart and went out on my own and did not talk to the kids because, like, the parents generally are not allowed to talk to their players, to the players. Coaches can. Coaches are pretty free as long as, you know, they're designated by the school that can go out, read a putt, talk to a kid, try to encourage them, you know, just, you know, again, like you're talking about the metal, if they get down, if they have a bad hole, or try to just get them back up, to forget that hole and move on. Because as you well know, golf, it's in the present and in the future. What's done is done, and you can't change that. But sometimes that's a little hard to tell a 20-year-old, you know, student athlete to say, don't worry about that. Let's move on to the next hole.
So what you're saying, Bob, is that, like, they designate the coach that can give the advice. And if you're one of those, great. If not, you have to really stay silent then. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In most cases, like we took, you know, if we take one team, then generally it's maybe one, maybe or two coaches, and that's it, instead of the three that we have. In this case, you know, with 16 players, all three. I mean, we had a cart so we can kind of move back and forth. We're allowed to, you know, give them water, give them, you know, Powerade, whatever, you know, some snacks, things like that. But in many instances, the parents are not allowed to talk to their student while they're on the golf course.
That's interesting. That's what we all know, you know, we're all parents, so we all are very supportive. But I did not know that. They can cheer, but they can't say anything to them.
Right, right.
Like, you know, you shouldn't use your driver here, son, or something like that, right?
Right, yeah, and you can understand why, because
yes,
it just, you know, it would be chaos, you know, like you said, with a parent and a child, so you're right there, down there, and then you've got three or four parents and things like that, and it would be chaos on the golf course. So just, you know, you avoid it, you don't do it, and let the student-athlete play the game.
Hey, Bob, this is John Kane jumping in here. I just want to tell you, thanks so much for being on the show. We want to wish you and everyone connected with the program at Siena the best of luck in the future. It was great talking with you.
Appreciate it, John. Thank you very much.
Hey,
enjoyed it.
Can't wait to see you at the golf outing in late May, early June, buddy.
Once again, Fred, you had the hole in one, so we got to replicate that.
Yeah, it's about to. Already. Thanks, man.
All right. That was Bob Lawrence. We're going to be back with our last guest on the show, Michael Ramp, right after this here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.
Concerned about unpredictable rising college tuition costs? Siena Heights University is taking a bold step to remain affordable. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena, a Catholic university. Located in Adrian, Michigan, Siena Heights also offers scholarships in academics, athletics, and the arts. Find out what the Siena Tuition Advantage is all about today by visiting siennaheights.edu. That's the Siena Effect.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Is space becoming a problem for you? Do you have clutter issues? Magic Fountain Mini Storage to the rescue. If you haven't rented a storage unit before, there's no need to worry. Magic Fountain makes it simple and easy. Their storage units are affordable, have 24-hour access, well-lit, safe, secure, and monitored with video surveillance 24/7. Multiple sized storage units and now offering secured outside storage. Magic Fountain Mini Storage in Adrian. Find them at the office behind Magic Fountain Auto Wash.
Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine. If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student-athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.siennaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Welcome back into Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 96.5thecave.com. All right. Our last guest on the show, it is the student-athlete, Michael Ramp. Hey, Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Well, we're doing pretty good in here. We kind of screwed up the order here a little bit. That was my deal. I'm always doing that kind of stuff. But it's great having you on the show. And we got the coach, the guy with all the info, Fred Smith.
Yeah, I used to have the info, Michael. I don't know if I've ever met you, but... I'm anxious to find out a lot about you. So tell me a little bit about yourself. You went to Lansing Catholic. Did you come here to play golf or just come here and go out for golf?
Yeah, so as you said, I'm from Lansing Catholic High School, which is in Lansing, Michigan. And so for the whole golf thing, I've been playing golf for a while now and then really got super interested in the game of golf in high school. That's when I really started playing competitively. Before then, I played in a little bit of some competition, but, I mean, it was, like, before high school. It wasn't, like, super, like, organized. It wasn't as serious. It was just more of, like, a for-fun thing. But, you know, starting off in high school where I really started to get going, I played my freshman year through senior year of high school. I started playing varsity my sophomore year of high school and then just really kept getting better and better as I kept practicing. And senior year came around, and I always just – I never wanted to stop playing golf and be – I always wanted to keep being competitive. And, you know, I remember it was like March of 2019, which was my senior year. I graduated in 2019. I took a visit here. I loved it and then committed in May, and now – here, like 2-3 years later, playing here has been amazing.
So, what were some of the courses that you played in Lansing? And you know, where was your home course at Lansing Catholic? And just this is just to help me so I can find some nice new golf courses to play.
Yeah, for sure. So we had like pretty much three different courses we practiced on. So, like, when we went to the driving range, our other two courses did not have driving ranges. Right. Well, one of them did, but it was for members only, so we couldn't get on that. The one that the driving range that we did use was Forest Acres. I don't know if you've heard of that before, Forest Acres East. The Forest Acres East, that's where we practiced our driving range. They have a really nice short game area across the road. And then we also played, this was more my senior year, but we played at a municipal course called Grosbeck. It's about, like, you could see my high school from that right. course. It's really close by. And then we also played a little bit at the Country Club of Lansing. That's a beautiful golf course. That's a members only course. And we were only allowed to be out there if we were on the Lansing Catholic golf team.
Oh, that's outstanding. So, how do you like Lenawee Country Club?
Yeah, Lenawee Country Club. It's, you know, when I came here my freshman year, it was a little bit different because, I mean, the pins are the pin positions are the toughest part about the course.
Right.
And like, I think it's really unique because I think it's made me like a better putter, and especially like in the summer when the greens are really rolling, you got to be thinking about a million things, you know, from your approach shot to where am I going to put this ball? The pin's in the center of the green. Are we going to attack this one if it's, you know, on the left side or if it's in the center of the green? Where do we hit it? Do we want to be above the hole or below the hole? Usually it's below the hole because it's usually some of those, downhill putts are scary. So adjusting to that has been the toughest part, and learning how to play that course I think has made me a better golfer, especially you know, with my short game, with my wedges and my putter.
So let me just switch tack here a little bit. What are you majoring in at Siena? Coach said you have an interest in doing some broadcasting and whatnot, but what's your academic major?
Yeah, so my academic major is communications, and I listened to the show earlier, and Coach Sandifer said I wanted to do journalism, and that's exactly what I want to do. So it's either between that or, like, other media stuff. So last year in a class I did some sporting events, like calling games for basketball last year. I think those are still on the website. So I think it was Siena Heights and Cornerstone. It was the men's game. The varsity game, it was like February of 2021 or something like that. So that was a great experience for me, and that's kind of what I want to do in the communications department, stuff like that.
All right, so let me put you on the spot. Who's your most favorite football color guy and your basketball color guy that's your favorite?
Is this are we talking about radio or TV?
Either way.
Okay, we'll do TV. I'm gonna do Jim Nance and Tony Romo. I think they always announce the best games, and it seems like Tony Romo knows the play before it even happens.
That's right.
I think that's the best part about it.
Who else?
Who else? You said?
Yeah, in basketball. We've watched a little bit of this basketball. Who are your favorite basketball people?
So for basketball, I know people may disagree with this one, but I really like this guy, Gus Johnson, and I don't know who. Yeah. I think it's Jimmy Jackson. Those two. They make everything that much more fun to watch.
Yeah, Coach and I remember watching Jimmy Jackson play in high school. He was kind of the, the Magic Johnson of Ohio at that time. That's how old we are, but that's pretty cool. So, tell us about your team a little bit, and I know it's been, you know, Coach talked about what a weekend you just went through, but tell us about your team and you know, how do you think you'll do this year and as you get ready for the end of the year?
Yeah, so for our team, we obviously talked about earlier in the show, we were at the Lawrence Tech invite in Shepherdsville, Kentucky, where we played Heritage Hill. It was a beautiful golf course. And, you know, as for the team, you know, there were a lot of up and downs. For me personally, it seemed like I had a really good stretch of holes, and then there was one blow-up hole. And then, you know, it was just all about climbing back, you know, one shot at a time. And the coaches have always talked about that. That's always something I know I can improve on mentally, because golf is just such a mental game. I mean, Jack Nicklaus says that golf is 90% mental and 10% physical. So that's one thing that you always, as a golfer, have to realize, is that it's all mental and you got to play the right games mentally. And that's one thing we also stress about, you know, as a team as well. Like, that's just so important. You got to take it one shot at a time. And, you know, we didn't play our best. We had some crazy wild scores in terms of, like, the first day and the second day. We had one kid shoot 23 strokes better on one day to the next. So, yeah, the conditions were really tough the first day. And, you know, I felt like we all did a great job of just taking it one shot at a time. And I think a tournament like this at this challenging course, which I think was the hardest course we played all year, will help us when we get to the WAC championship and get us in a position to win the conference.
So what is your, in your slightly, oh, really 2.5 years, what's your favorite course that you've played in either Michigan or Ohio or around in our conference?
Oh, I think the one we just played this weekend, Heritage Hill. I think the thing about it is just, like, the layout was beautiful. The only thing that made it tough was, like, and I think maybe, I don't know if that's some of my teammates about this one, but because that was a great question. But I think the problem is just, like, the conditions just weren't great. It was so cold and stuff like that. It would have been great, I think, the course, if it was, like, in 70 degrees. I think it would have been that much more beautiful. And, I mean, it was beautiful as it was. I mean, some of those holes you were hitting, you know, above high elevation, down in the fairways, just right down below, and that was beautiful. Hole 18 looked beautiful with the water to the left, and I think honestly the course we played this week at Heritage Hill is the best course we played.
Wow. You know, I'm an old has-been when it comes to golf, but I love it. And as you guys were down there playing, got 54 holes, whatever you did, I was, as I told Bob, Coach Lawrence, that I was watching the match play tournament, and even in Austin, Texas, their Bermuda is still dormant there, you know, and you would see green and that you would see yellow where their Bermuda is. So early in the year, you have to get, you really know your lies, and you probably don't have to play as much deep rough, right?
Yeah, so out there, there wasn't really deep rough at all. And but on the fairways, yeah, they were pretty dormant. So, I mean, it was basically, like, as you said right there, not really deep rough there.
Yeah, and you're hitting almost off bare ground sometimes, you know, with the grass like that. as you guys – oh, I'm sorry here. Boy, it's cell phones, huh? As a former coach, I would have really been letting one of my players have it in a meeting if my phone ever went off. As you get ready for the season, are you in the midst of doing a lot of qualifying? You haven't been out yet, so how do you qualify? And what will you be doing?
So for this spring, Coach is going to be taking all the teams to all the tournaments up until the WAC championship, and we will be determining the lineup through those tournaments and who's playing hot, averages, and all that. That's what all the coaches will be taking a hard look at. Because our team got 10 guys on the team right now who can all give everybody a run for their own money. I mean, it's so competitive at practice. This is probably the most competitive team I've been on for the 3 years I've been here, and I think it's great because I think it's made me a better golfer, maybe a better person and competitor, as well as maybe other players as well. And I think we're all really close on the team, but you know, around the course, it's our ball and the clubs that we have, and we're going to try and compete as well. And we got a lot of guys on the team that can, the lineup can change at any day, to be honest with you.
Yeah, when you came in probably this you know, summer when you came, you guys had time to qualify, and now there really is no time. So it's an ongoing thing. I think that's a great thing. So all your spring events, you'll be accumulating that to really determine the top five or six you can take to conference. Now, let me ask you one other favorite question. Who is your favorite professional golfer? Give me at least a couple of them.
Yeah, so, you know, for my teammates, if they're listening to this, I know they're going to really disagree on this one. It's Bryson DeChambeau, definitely up there.
Yeah.
I really liked how he, like, modernized the game and stuff. Yes. I don't have quite the ball speed he has or the club head speed. But I just like his attitude. I think he's a business mentality. Right. I think he also has a really nice YouTube channel I checked out. I like to kind of see what he's doing on there. And another golfer I like is Kevin Kisner. And I really started liking him in the match play because it just seems like every year he's right there in the match plays. And it's just his game's just built for the match play. He's so good at hole by hole. And I think he's just really, really has a really big clutch factor to him.
Yeah, well, the greatest thing about Kisner, you know, he always says that when he goes to Augusta and someone like Bethpage, he really can't compete. He goes, but 20th place pays well, too. I like that comment. But this weekend, when you were gone, they had some heavyweight matches. You know, they had John Rahm and Koepka, and then Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau, and then I think Scotty Scheffler and Dustin. They were great heavyweight matches, so I really enjoyed watching it. Well, listen, we're getting toward the end. I just want to thank you for being on the show. I'm going to turn it back to the Dean of Broadcasting, that you should get a hold of him and at down here at the Cave to do some, like I do. I do a little bit of broadcasting, and you sound better than me already. So thanks for being on, and back to John Cain.
Okay, Michael, I only really have one question for you.
And yeah.
I was going to ask Coach Sandifer earlier, never got around to it. I get this feeling that this could be the windiest season ever. Is there a strategy for playing in the wind?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the courses that, I don't know if you guys played it before, but have you guys played the Legacy in Ottawa Lake, Michigan?
Oh, yeah, many times.
Yeah, okay, it gets windy. Like, I remember in the fall, we were playing in already 20 to 30 mile an hour winds, and it's already windy out there because it's a links course. It's pretty wide open, so it gets really windy. So for a few of, I guess for the listeners out there, I guess who would like the advice, the best thing I would say for them is it's just for the direction of the wind, because sometimes the wind changes. I pick up the grass and see where it's blowing. That's the first thing you have to know, because when you're hitting and it's downwind versus the wind at your face, it's so much different. Because if the wind's at your face, the ball's going to get more spin, and it's obviously not going to go as far. So you're going to have to club up so you can get to lower loft, and you will get lower spin on the ball. So you'll be more accurate, and the distance control will be much better, because it's already hard to control distance when you have the wind at your face. And then usually what I like to do, and some of my teammates do this too, is they will generally try and hit play at the back of their stance and try and hit like low, kind of like these low stingers so it can penetrate through the wind. And that'll get the ball to not really lose as much distance, and you can control it more. And it's not like, you know, some of your misses can be exaggerated because the wind just obviously puts more spin on the ball. So that would be my advice on the wind at your face, is just either club up, either one, two, or even three clubs sometimes, depending on the wind. And that's what you'll have to do with the Legacy. And if the wind's at your back, that can be difficult too, because the ball has no spin on it. So I remember on Saturday, it was like 20, 30 miles an hour winds. Some of the gusts were, I think, even higher than that. I remember I had a 6-iron shot. I was 190 out. I take a 6-iron. I feel like I hit it perfect. And then I see it bounce really high over the green, and then Coach Lawrence was basically like, yeah, I think he just kind of had a no spin on the shot. It's just one of those where it just kind of bounces, and then it just kind of goes over the green. So for that advice would be obviously club down and swing easy, because one thing I've always been told, I think my dad told me this too, is breezy, swing easy. So that would be my best advice, and that's something all golfers should follow along to.
Well, Michael, the thing I like best about my golf game is I have triple doubles. I have no problem whatsoever getting at least 10 strokes on three consecutive holes, and that's a triple double. So that's about where I am at that. But I want to thank you for being on the show, and you're a great ambassador for Siena Heights University. I want to wish you and the golf team and all your endeavors in the future the best.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, breezy, swing easy. I'm going to remember that, Michael. I like it.
All right.
All right, that's going to wrap up our show here for this evening. Remember now, you can catch Siena Heights Sports Weekly every Monday night at 6 p.m. right here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.